Welcome to Luma and Bloom, the podcast that empowers and enlightens. My name is Nick.
And my name's Kate. And together, our goal is to shine a light on the dark conversations.
Luma and Bloom is brought to you by the Joy Smith Foundation.
Okay, everyone, I am joined today by our beautiful guest, Nicole Fleckner. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. This means so much to be able to share my story with everyone in hopes that it can help.
Absolutely. Well, you have been a friend of our co-host, Nick, for quite some time, so that is how we got connected. But when I heard parts of your story, I don't know everything, but when I first heard it and when I had found out that you were talking with Nick, I was so excited because I know that we have so many young listeners. We have listeners in high school, and I know that that is where your story kind of began a little bit, but let's start from the beginning and get to know you a little bit more before we kind of get into all that. But do you want to talk a little bit about what life was like growing up for you?
So growing up, I come from a big family. I have three incredible brothers and a wonderful sister, and we were so close as a family, and our twin brothers were born a little later on, so they kind of kept us all close and kind of the reason we all go back home. And my parents are incredible and are very hard workers. And I'm just so grateful that I was able to grow up in a family that was chaos, but it was all good chaos. And I'm so grateful for each and every one of them. And they never gave up on me, so...
Oh, and you grew up in a pretty rural community, is that correct?
Yes, small town.
How was that growing up? What did you ever have like big city envy where you were like, oh, I wish I lived in a bigger city?
No, I said I was never going to leave my small town. I was set on staying in that town, and I'm so grateful I had the opportunity to moved to Saskatoon, and it's a bigger city, obviously, and it has taught me so much, and I'm very grateful that I did make the move. And like everyone says, you need to leave your small town, so I'm very grateful that I did.
Yeah, absolutely. I know for me, like, I've experienced both living in a bigger city and a smaller city, and I think both have such beautiful aspects of them. So I think if you can, it's good to be able to experience both because you learn a lot about yourself in both situations.
Yes, absolutely. No, it and there's so much to do in a city that I didn't get the opportunity to in a small town.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So growing up, what were some of your, I guess, hobbies, like in a small town, what were some things, like, what was life like, I guess? Because I didn't grow up in a small town. I grew up in the bigger city. And so I guess, what was life like for you growing up in a small town?
Well, a lot of our, like, surrounding family lives in the small town. So family suppers were always a big thing. And I took dance class from when I was 4 all the way until I graduated high school. So that was kind of a big part of my life, and I'm very grateful it was right in the small town and I was able to do that. And I wasn't very into sports, let's say, but dance was a big part of my life, and I did choir for a little bit, and I just, yeah.
But. Mm-hmm. And when you were growing up, was there anything that you were really, I guess, what was your kind of dream, like, did you have a dream job? Did you know what you wanted to be when you grew up?
I still don't.
But, neither do I.
Yes. From a young age, I always wanted to help people and be around people. And I went and visited the old folks home and So that it was a big part of just helping in the community. And now that I'm in Saskatoon, I volunteer at a shelter, which is incredible. It has opened my eyes and definitely given me a different perspective on life. And I'm so grateful to be able to go there every week. And I am able to have coffee with the seniors at my church. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm learning and meeting so many different people.
That's amazing. I think volunteering is so special to be able to, just like you said, experience different ways of life and different people. And you really learn a lot about yourself in those settings. But I guess, why don't we dive into kind of why we're here and maybe the bigger conversation? Because I think that is going to be really important. It's a really important conversation, and it's something that I think a lot of people don't really talk about, as is a lot of the conversations that we like to have on this podcast. But it's one of those things where I don't think a lot of people really realize it's even an issue until it gets to a point where it's affecting your life in a very big way. But it is one of those things that kind of sneaks up on people. And it's the use of alcohol and how that can have an impact on somebody's life. So that is kind of where we got connected and where you first reached out. So do you want to maybe tell kind of your story, and then we'll just go from there. We'll see kind of where the conversation leads us.
Yes. Yeah, so when I was in high school, there was obviously parties, and when you're in a small town, that's the case, but I didn't really go to a lot of them. I went to the odd one, and it was kind of when I hit 18, 19, when drinking was legal, and I realized it was fun. I was enjoying myself. It made you feel good for a little bit. And then, I just, like I said, being in a small town, there's not much else to do. So you think it's normal and to do that every weekend. And I was doing it every weekend, and I would wake up and I would regret it. And I am just so sad that it took me so long to realize that I had a problem, and not a problem that I was drinking every day, but it's when I did drink, I couldn't just stop at one, and then it would just continue on into the next day of the weekend. And it's not a fun life. At the moment, you think it's fun and you think it's helpful to take away your thoughts or your pain, and it really is not. And it came to a point when just these past couple years, I was doing it so often, and I was depressed, and I thought I was dealing with depression and anxiety. It runs in my family, and I was like, that's it. It just took me longer to deal with it. And so it came to a point where I went on medication, and I still was not okay. And so I thought, well, I'm drinking every single weekend, and I'm surrounding myself with alcohol, and I'm not getting out of my rut. So I started taking it little bits away, and I thought, just spending my time differently. And so I went off my depression medication, and I have not been on it since. And that is such a big lesson I learned, is I was taking my medication and then I would go out and drink. That's not not how it should be. And so I'm so grateful that I realized, like, I don't actually need to be on medication. I believe that depression and anxiety is real, but I'm fortunate that mine was just based because
I was deep into alcohol and partying, and it's not mm-hmm. fun.
It's almost like the alcohol was kind of the root cause that caused everything. So, you know, being on medication sometimes when you're not dealing with that other root cause mm-hmm. of things, it's not necessarily going to help in all of the ways that it could until you kind of deal with that deeper emotion.
Yes, exactly. And I remember my mom saying to me, she's like, alcohol is a depressant. And I'm like, no, like I'm okay. I'm because whenever someone, friends, family tried to talk to me, I just kind of shut everyone out. And I wouldn't talk about it with anyone. I wouldn't communicate. And I would just go home and either have a drink or just go to bed really early so I wouldn't have to feel sad, I guess. And mm-hmm. Since moving here, I have learned that it is so important to talk about things and to write things down. And I'm so grateful for all the people who have listened to me. And when I say, since I'm here in Saskatoon, and when I say I actually had a problem with alcohol, it's so amazing that they only get to know this better version of me mm-hmm. and, they don't have to know the old Nicole that was, just off the rails sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful for my friends and family that have stuck by my side through it all and watched me hit rock bottom so many times. And I'm so grateful to have them on the other side with me and to help talk about the situation. And so,
mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, family is so important when it comes to, we always talk about having a safe place to land, no matter what you're going through, having that support system behind you can really honestly sometimes be the difference in whether someone is successful in kind of overcoming whatever they're going through or potentially not. We see a lot of girls, even in our offices, that struggle when there is no support network there. And so for you to be able to have your family and your friends around you supporting you through that, I mean, that's just so special.
Yes, it's so incredible. And every time I go back to Manitoba, I just am so grateful that my parents and my siblings and friends, they never gave up on me, even when mm-hmm. they could have so many times. And I have such a different look on life now, and I'm so grateful for all the little things, and I'm definitely counting my blessings. So.
Yeah, definitely. When it came to being exposed to alcohol, because one of the things that kind of jumped out to me was being in a small town, this was just normalized. This was kind of the thing to do. There isn't necessarily a whole lot of other things to do. Was that kind of lifestyle of drinking and partying on the weekends something that you were exposed to even at a young age, like not necessarily before or not necessarily like when you were of legal drinking age, but was this something that was just kind of normalized in your community?
Yes, for sure. Like you just, before I could go to the bar, I guess. And that's just what everyone did. We only have two bars and that's kind of what everyone did. Or you went to a hockey game or a baseball game and drank there. And then you'd go to someone's house. And then, so I kind of when I hit that age, I'm like, okay, this is fun. Like, and it became such a big part of my life. And, my physical and mental health had just like, I had gained so much weight and I was so miserable all the mm-hmm. time. And now looking back, I'm just like, wow, I can't believe, like I was miserable every single day. And I just didn't care. I didn't care about anything, and that's not okay. I go back and I'm trying to just send out apologies, maybe, of things that people that I have hurt, maybe, and I think that's important to go and say, I know this happened forever ago, but I want you to know that I am sorry for acting that way, or because that's so, I think it's such an important part of becoming sober, is realizing like all the places I went wrong and I made mistakes. And I, one of them was my older brother and his wedding, and I had my sister and I were speaking, so I was like, I don't like public speaking, so
I just me either.
And it got to a point and I blacked out and I don't remember the majority of his wedding, and that is a moment I will never get back, and that's something. So I'm grateful that I'm able to still do things that are important. And my brother, my oldest brother, he understands. He understood where I was coming from, and I'm so grateful for him and his wife. But that was kind of a big one, where that, because I won't ever get that moment back. And there's parts I remember, but I don't remember at all. And so when people talk about, oh, do you remember at the wedding? And I just kind of sit there and I'm like, well, no. And there was moments like that where I should have maybe looked back and thought, okay, maybe let's take a break. But I continued to do so. And I always thought that right up until I moved, I was yeah, I just continued to do so. And I'm like, okay, maybe I won't drink this weekend. But then it would happen. And it was, yeah, when I moved here, I realized there is so much more to life than drinking every weekend. And I'm doing so many different things. And when I go back to Manitoba, everyone's like, you're glowing. You're, and I'm so, so grateful that people, because I feel it, but I'm so grateful that people can see it too.
So. Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, thank you for sharing that story about your brother's wedding. I think it's really powerful, because what really resonates with me was how you feel like you're never going to be able to get that moment back. You know, I could kind of see the emotions on your face when you were saying that. And I know that that is a very difficult thing to kind of come to terms with. And, you know, I just think how you were talking about taking accountability for your actions and kind of going back and apologizing to people is so healthy. Like, I can tell you are in such a different place now than you were before. And it's true. I feel like you just are radiating positive, incredible energy, and you have since I've known you. And, you know, I didn't know the old Nicole, but I know you now. And I just think it's so special and really an important message, you know, for maybe some of those that are listening out there that maybe do feel like they're ready to kind of take that next step in terms of taking accountability. And, you know, it's not easy. Like, was that challenging for you to get to a place where you had to go back to maybe some people and say sorry?
Yes, it was something. And there was moments when I was drinking, I had always thought like, but I didn't want to do it at that point. I didn't want to apologize when I was still repeating the same patterns. So now that I'm sober, I am able to go and do that and mean it from the bottom of my heart, and knowing that I'm not going to make those same mistakes again. And it's so important to that. Yeah, that has been such a big part in going back and apologizing and my parents are amazing, and I'm so, so grateful for them. But that's one thing I had, when I had lived here for a couple months, I had sent them a text and I said, "Hi, Mom and Dad, I want you guys to realize, or I want you guys to know that I realize I have a problem and I am going to work towards it. And I'm so sorry for everything I've put you guys through, because it wasn't just a couple little things. It was a constant." Mm-hmm. And I don't ever want to be that person again. And I'm so grateful that I'm only taking steps forward now. And whenever I think about taking a step back, I just like need to take time to myself. And I'm so happy that I am able to be the best version of myself and healthy version. And I'm grateful that my family and friends can see that.
Mm-hmm. What was that point for you, maybe, that you realized that it was a problem in your life? Like, was there a moment that you look back on and are like, that was it? Or was it kind of a series of events?
I definitely think it was a series of events. And I would always joke about hitting rock bottom, and the thing is, I hit rock bottom lots of times, and it wasn't a joke, but I just kind of played it lightly, and I was like, if I just and I think the relationship you have with yourself affects everyone around you. I was obviously miserable, and I didn't want to talk to anyone. I didn't want to be around anyone, and that was making my family like upset. And I definitely think that it just is so important to get to a point where you realize it's so important to work on yourself and to do things for yourself and just take time. Reading or walking became such a big part. I enjoy walks, and I think that's so important, because I realized I get to be so happy now, and that affects everyone around me. I can be the best sister, I can be the best daughter, I can be the best friend, and that's pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, self-care is such a big thing, and it's something that I think we can all do better at taking care of ourselves, right? We're such a busy society, and it's something that even for myself, I know is something that I struggle with. But I think, yeah, like you said, finding those ways, those things that you enjoy doing that really just make you feel good about yourself, and both mentally and physically, right? I think for me, most of it is my mental health and just how doing those things, those self-care, makes me feel about myself mentally. Like, that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, for sure. And it's so important to, I felt like when I was drinking constantly, I felt like everything was poor me, I'm overweight, poor me that someone treated me this way. But people are going to treat you with as little or as much respect as you allow them to, and that's one big thing. Like, if you're gonna keep letting people disrespect you, they're going to continue, because and I just think it's so important, the people you surround yourself with and who fill your cup and bring out the best in you, and are there at any time of day for you. And that is so incredible.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It is so important to fill that circle around you with people that you can trust and are reliable to help you through those difficult times, because at the end of the day, we're all going to go through them, and there's going to be different times in our life where we're struggling, and having that good support network around you is so important. You know, when you talked about isolating yourself from your support network, Was that something that you realized you were doing? Like, was it an internal thing where you were like, well, I know I'm hurting the people around me, so I'm going to kind of remove myself? Or was it just something that happened more naturally as you were drinking more?
No, I think, like, I knew I was upsetting my family, and so I was just like, I'm just gonna shut it out. I'm just gonna keep it all to myself. And there were so many times where it's so sad now looking back, but I would just cry myself to sleep. Like, and that's so sad that I was at that point where and everyone made it so clear that I could come and talk to them, but I didn't want to hear. I think I just was in my own head, and it's, yeah, so important to talk about it. And I had someone ask me the other day, like, did you go to therapy? And I said, no, I actually didn't. I just put myself in different situations, and I walk, and I tried Pilates, and I'm trying different things that had made me happy. And I do talk about it with different people that I struggle with alcoholism. And everyone says, like, the people that I might meet now, they're like, you're always so happy. Like, I never would have guessed that you went through that. And I think it was always such an important part to put a smile on my face. And because you never know what someone else is going through. So maybe my smile could have changed their day, or my good morning or hello. So that was always so important to me. But I was so unhappy, and I was like, if I just smile, if I go out in public and I smile and say hello, sometimes that changed my mood right there, just putting a smile on my face. And I think I have never been completely and fully happy with myself or anything, and that until I have removed myself just for a little bit from Manitoba, and I tried something new for myself, and I am such a happy version of myself, and I'm so blessed to have made it this far, because it is baby steps, and
absolutely
not everyone realizes that, like people who maybe aren't close with me, or people who don't deal with alcohol. But I have realized I've made so many big steps, and I'm proud. So
yeah, well, yeah. And as you should be. I mean, it's such an incredible thing what you were able to overcome just on your own. And you know, you should be proud of yourself. It's such an amazing accomplishment. And I think a lot of people, when you talk about like that journey, right, when people think about it, they want to get to the end result, right? There's the beginning and the end, and you kind of forget that there's an entire road that you have to walk before you get to that finish line. And I know for me, with different aspects in my life too, like I would get frustrated with myself when I wasn't reaching that end goal quick enough. It was frustrating. Yeah. And it would sometimes even cause you to kind of veer off course a little bit and have a slip up. And, you know, it's what I've learned is you have to fall in love with the journey, because that's majority of the time getting from point A to point B is the journey in between.
Yes.
And, yeah, when you were going through that, did you experience any slip-ups? And, you know, how did you kind of course correct, get yourself back on track with it?
I feel like, like I said, I would try, and okay, maybe this weekend I won't drink, or maybe this weekend I'll just stay in. But I was the type of person that I was such an extrovert. I had to always have the next plan. I always had to be doing something. And now that I live here, I'm a little bit of an introvert, but I'm so happy with that. Like, it's so important to just have no plan, no agenda. And I think that's important. And there was one moment, since being sober. I had just had a rough day. And I was like, well, if I just had one glass of wine. And there is a, I hope one day I can get to a point where maybe I can just go out with a friend and have one glass of wine. But for right now, that's not in my plan, and that's okay. And there was a time, and I thought one glass of wine, but the thing is, it would have turned into the bottle. And so I just got in my car and I went for a drive, and that was so important. Like, instead of just staying in the house, and I was like, no, I can go out and I can just take a drive, take the long way home. And so there was that moment where I kind of thought I would have maybe. But then I had went back to Manitoba at Christmas, and I went to two different socials, and that was the moment I realized I'm okay with alcohol, without alcohol, and I'm an even better person without it, because I was able to go to both of those socials without any drinking, and I was surrounded by everyone drinking, and I was okay, and I was so happy. And that was the moment I realized, like, I'm okay, I'm good.
Wow, that's such a big milestone too, just to have been able to get to that point, because I know, like, a lot of people do, when going into social situations, it can be a little awkward, and especially if you don't know a lot of people that are going to be there, right? So having a drink or two to kind of help yourself relax, and it's such a common thing, right? You always hear people talking about it in that way, and so just for yourself to be able to recognize, like, no, I'm okay without it, like, I'm still the same person.
I always thought, like, oh, I needed alcohol to be a fun person. I needed alcohol to go out. And I was like, no, I'm an even better person without alcohol, actually. And there's so many times that if I wasn't surrounded by the friends I was with, I don't know if I would have made it, or because I kind of lost my feet, I guess you could say. Yeah. And so I'm grateful for those stubborn friends that never gave up on me. And if we did go out, they were right there getting me in the Uber or the cab. Or so, but yeah.
Just taking care of you. That's so good. That's so nice that you had that support around you. Did you find that there were a lot of external, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess outside influence to encourage you to drink. Like, was that ever something that it came from other people?
Well, in a sense, yes. Like, I feel like if I would go out and maybe I'd say, oh, I'm not going to drink tonight, but then everyone around you is drinking, and they're like, oh, you could have one, and I'm like, yeah, true. And then it would just go down from there. And that's, so I feel like when I was with big crowds, I'm like, okay, yes, this this game would be fun, or this would be fun, so I might as well just have a couple. And that would get to a point where you're out all night, and then and I'm surprised my hangovers were so, so bad. I'm surprised I didn't quit earlier, because they took the whole next day away from me. And and it was an awful feeling. But
Well, I know even for myself, right, like going out when I was younger, I didn't really want to drink. It wasn't necessarily something that I was really excited about, but you do get peer pressured into it quite a lot. And I remember that too, growing up, and you're out with a group of people, and everyone's having a drink and they're like, oh, come on, just have one. Like, why aren't you having any fun? Like, come on, be like the rest of us, right? And it's that peer pressure.
Yeah.
And you just want to fit in and you want people to like you. So you're kind of like, oh, well, maybe I am no fun. Like, maybe I should have a drink. Like, it's just, it's so hard, especially when you are younger. You're much more easily influenced by other people.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. No, and I, when I went back at Christmas, I went to the bar after the one social and I was driving and one girl I went to school with, she said, Nicole, do you want to take a shot? And I said, oh, I'm actually okay, thank you. I don't drink anymore. And she looks at me and she says, that's why you look like that. There was a point where I was overweight and I have lost just about 30 pounds. And so she's like, that's why you look like that. And I just had a little giggle to myself because I was like, that's a huge compliment for me. Maybe she didn't mean it that way, but I took it as a compliment. So.
Yeah, no, it's important to kind of, I mean, we always, I think you hear the message of not pressuring people into things, but it is really important because you never know what kind of journey somebody is on. And for yourself and for many people I know that do struggle with alcohol or even just addictions to anything, whether it be food, as simple as food, right? Like if you are pushing something on someone or just saying, oh, come on, just have one, that can be incredibly triggering. And
yeah, absolutely.
It's just good to be mindful. It's not anyone else's responsibility to, you know, I guess, take care of someone else. Like it is that individual's responsibility to be able to say yes or no, but it is important that we just respect people with where they're at and maybe not push things on them. If they say no, then that's kind of, that should be the end of the conversation,
I guess. Exactly. And that's one thing I think I used to be that I was the life of the party. And if other people were around me and they maybe said, oh, I'm not drinking. And I'm like, well, why not? Like, it just, and so I'm, now that I look back, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so sad because little did I know that I was the one that had the problem. And, you definitely, you have to realize that everyone is going through their own journey and you never know what they're going through. So
you never know.
You just have to, growing up, our parents raised us to always be kind to everybody, be friends with everybody. And that is something that I still carry on. And that is so important because you really do. And maybe that person, like I said, needed your hello or how are you? And that's, working at the shelter, I've realized that. And the one woman, the one day she said, I'm really working on getting sober, and just hearing that made me smile because that was her. Yeah. So that made me so smart, so happy. And I'm,
that's so grateful sweet.
Yeah.
It's true. I think we kind of lose that as we get older, kind of being kind and gentle towards other people. And it's, I love, like, I can just tell you are such a sweet person. Like I'm just so honored that you want to even be here today and be sharing your story, because you are such a light of positivity. And I mean, it just, it does, it truly radiates off of you. And I think it's such a sweet thing to kind of just remember, like, even as we're older, you, like you said, we're all taught that growing up, but I think we kind of lose that as we get older.
For sure. Yeah, no, and it's something you see, like, around you, and it's maybe that person wasn't so kind, and you think back and you're like, oh, I'm gonna go be kind to that person. Like, it's so important. And it's, like I said, depression and anxiety is real, and maybe someone was really struggling for their life that day, or for so just to shine a light or a smile, and it's so amazing. And so many people did that for me, I think, without even me realizing it. I have a little niece, and she'll never know this, but she was, she's going to be 2, and she was kind of the only light in my life for those past, like, since I found out I was going to be an auntie, all the way through until now. And she is such a big light in my life, and she has no idea, but just the little things with her make me such a happier person. And some days I was so down and out, I wasn't okay, and I would just go over and I would see her, and it would help me for that little bit. And that's so incredible.
Yeah, that is so sweet. You know, I often think about when, you know, we're going about our day-to-day life, and maybe we're out somewhere and someone is maybe rude to us or a little bit short or says something just, you know, not nice. And you kind of take it personally, and you're like, well, what did I do to you to deserve like that response? But what I often try and remind myself is like, I have no idea what they're going through.
No,
like maybe they just got horrible news, and I was just the first person that came in contact with them. And it is important to just remember that you never know what somebody else is going through. And so just meeting them and kind of treating everybody with that same love and respect that you would hope to get, even if you're having the worst day of your life.
Yes, for sure. No, I think, and so many people close to me didn't realize that every night I was so upset, and because I just sheltered it. And then I would wake up the next day and it would just continue and continue. And it's so important to talk about it. And I learned to talk about it with complete strangers that I've met in Saskatoon, and they just sit there and listen. And like I said, they only get to know the best version of me. And that's amazing. Yeah.
Did the people in your life recognize that you were struggling, or was it that hidden?
No, they definitely, my mom and my sister and my sister-in-law and my older cousin, those are the 4 women that have kind of been so important. In even though I wouldn't talk about it, I always knew they were there to listen if I needed it. And I remember my mom, the one night I had texted her and I said, is it okay if I come stay at your house tonight, but I need you to not ask what's wrong. And I would just sit there and cry, and she didn't, she just sat there with me, which is, that's all I wanted at that point. And she held me and she said, baby girl, I wish I could take your pain away. And she's an angel.
No kidding. Well, and even for you to be able to verbalize that, I think sometimes it's so hard to be able to even know what we want or need in that moment. But I think it's good, because it's good to hear that if someone comes to you and they're struggling, you know, maybe ask, like, what do you need right now? Do you just need a shoulder? Do you want to talk about it? Do you just need a hug, you know, or do we need to talk about it? Like, give them the option. And sometimes they don't even know, but it's important. It's still important to say, because I know there are sometimes for me, it's like, I needed a good cry, and I didn't necessarily want to talk about it. I just needed to get it out and feel supported while I did. So if someone that you know is struggling, just ask them, like, hey, what can I do right now to help you? Is it this? Is it that? See what they say. And if they don't know, that's okay too.
It
happens.
Most of the time I had no idea where I was. But like I said, I likely would have drank the night before, and then it would just carry on. And so that was likely why I was crying, but I didn't know. Yes, I think it's so important to have those people that are there And if they'll just sit there and they won't say anything, because sometimes you don't want to hear anything. Mm-hmm. You just want to sit there in silence. And yeah, it's mm-hmm.
So how many years would you say then that this was something that you struggled with?
Well, over 5 years. And it wasn't always bad. It wasn't like there were good times, there were fun times, but if there was a picture being taken, I would have had a drink just to the side, maybe not in the picture, but it would have been mm-hmm. to the side. And I just felt like every function you were at, I had to have a drink, and that's not okay. And I've learned that Virgin Caesars are just as good. But yeah, so it feels like forever. And I'm so glad that I was able to realize at a young age, instead of like 40s or 50s, that like, okay, I have a problem, but at that point I'm so unhealthy, or I've lost so many relationships or friendships, mm-hmm. or so I'm grateful that it feels like I didn't learn early enough, but I'm grateful mm-hmm. that it was young enough that I was able to come out on top, because not everyone can. And I think it's so important to, like I said, be proud of how far I've come.
Absolutely. Yeah. How did it affect those relationships in your life? And you kind of touched on maybe losing relationships. Did you lose any, friendships along the way? Like what was that like?
I feel like everyone who was important in my life has stuck by my side and has watched me become happy. And I get so many messages, "You just look so happy." And to hear that is amazing. And I'm so grateful that I didn't lose my family or my best friends. And now I'm building new relationships with friends and different people around the city, and that's amazing. And mm-hmm. so I'm very grateful that I didn't lose my close friends. They just watched me and they'd pick me up off the floor. And now they get a good friend that is there for them, in the sense. And I just I make it a point of messaging my friends and just saying, I know I tell you this a lot, but I'm so grateful that you never gave up on me. I'm so grateful that we are still close. And because it could have absolutely went the other way. Mm-hmm. They could have been like, okay, see you. So
yeah. And it does happen to a lot of people, right? Yes. Like that's kind of why I asked, is I've heard it. People lose family and relationships, even things like that. Alcohol addiction can be so, so challenging. And it is one of those things where I think, because it is so normalized, even in our society in general, it's, this isn't an isolated thing to small towns. This happens everywhere. And because it is so normalized, you see it on TV shows, in movies, like everyone's just having a drink and having a good time. Like, it's not really something I think people think can necessarily become a problem, or they do, but they're like, oh, well, it would never happen to me. Like, I know my limits, or I know when to stop. But a lot of times people just don't. And so, just to recognize like the damage that it can cause in people. And, if you do know somebody that is struggling, just being that, those people that were to you, those good people that were kind of stood by your side, is clearly had such a big impact on your life and your recovery since becoming sober.
Yes. Yeah. No. And it definitely is something that is not talked about enough. And it should be, it's like drugs, like a drug addiction, like that's talked about a little bit more, but mm-hmm. alcoholism is like, it's just not. And so I just shut it out. I'm like, okay, that's, I'll just continue to do so or continue to, and I think it's something that does really need to be talked about more.
Yeah.
And because it is important. And I met a woman, she spoke at one of my Bible studies, and she's a wonderful woman. And she has 5 kids, and her story was about her addictions with alcohol. And I just said, after she spoke about her, I said, can I just thank you so much for, I know you have no idea who I am, but your story, it really impacted me and it was so important. And I told her that I'm actually sober, and we had such a long conversation about, like, she told me hers was a lot younger when she started, and she has been able to just be such a light, and she didn't even know that she was a light in my so her story was very important to me, and
yeah,
I'm grateful that I heard it. And yeah
well, I know your story is going to be that for many people too, just sharing it today, because I mean, we love being able to share people's stories. You know, everyone has a story, and even if you don't think you have a story, to anyone listening today, I promise you everybody has a story. And there are elements of different people's stories that we all connect to. You know, I think that's the beauty of this, is there are elements to what you've shared today where I'm like, wow, I really connect to that. Like, I remember feeling that way too, even though, you know, I haven't struggled with alcohol, but it's like there are still elements to your story.
Absolutely.
That really resonate with me. And it's just so special to have the ability to talk to you and have you share your story, because I know it's going to help so many people.
And that was kind of, like I said, I don't like speaking in public, but I thought maybe if it can just help one person, that is so important. And I think people can see that I never believed that people could change until I realized that it is very possible if you really want to. And because I made such a big change in my life, it's possible. And I hope that I can reach out to someone.
Yeah. Well, I know you definitely will, because this is such an important conversation, especially from someone who is so young. I mean, this is something that I think a lot of people maybe think happens later in life, or they kind of hit that rock bottom later in life when it's maybe impacting their marriage or their kids or finances or whatever. But to come from somebody who is so young, being vulnerable and hearing that, I know we have a lot of young listeners too.
Yeah.
And that's going to resonate with them, just to see someone like you and think, okay, you know, if she can do it, I can do it.
Yes. And like I said, if I heard someone's story like mine, because I thought I was the only one that dealt with it, and it's so, like, so many people deal with it, and it just, I believe that people come in and out of our lives for a lesson. Like, each person is teaching me a lesson without even knowing it, and I've learned so many lessons coming up to this point in my life, and I am so grateful for each lesson, even if it was hard or it was sad or tough. I'm so grateful that that was just a season in my life where it was a lesson. And so I think that's important.
For you, when you kind of look back, was there, like, did you ever struggle with feeling worthy or just that self-confidence piece? Like, did alcohol ever play a role in kind of trying to maybe minimize some of those feelings?
Yes. Yeah. Not that, but I've always felt like I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough for people around me, or I'm not good enough for this. And I think that was, I was always overweight growing up. And I think that was a big part of it. Because all my siblings are very tall and skinny. And I, yeah, it was just something I looked in the mirror and I was like, just couldn't lose that weight, or I couldn't ever love myself. And but it was the situations I was putting myself in. And now, like, I'm losing weight, and but it's because I removed alcohol, and I am happier. And I think that's such a huge part, like, just being happy with yourself is so important. And that is, yeah, one thing. And I feel like when I drank, I was felt good. I was like, oh, I'm funny. Oh, I'm, and that wasn't the case, because it was just, I didn't care. I kept gaining weight and gaining weight and gaining weight. And I came to a point, like, I just didn't care. And I stepped on the scale and the numbers kept going up and up and up. And, but I didn't care. I was like, I was sad about it, but, like, I was like, oh, whatever. Like, but yeah, I think it's important to work on yourself. And I think I needed that. I needed that time where I was kind of, by myself to work on myself, read, write in a journal, talk about it, go on walks by myself, or go to a coffee shop by myself. And that was so, yeah, important. And now I have come to a point where I do feel like I'm good enough, and I feel, so that's pretty amazing that I got to that point, because there was a time where I was, thought I was never gonna get to that, and I would never be able to lose the weight, and I would never be able to become sober, because then I wouldn't be funny or good enough, or but I'm at a point, and I'm just like, I go to bed and I'm so happy, and I get to wake up and I'm happy, and that's the best part. Like, you get to wake up and you get to decide how your mood is, how you're gonna take on the day. And that's kind of a big thing. Like, I can wake up miserable, or I can wake up and just decide, like, choose things that I'm grateful for. And that's one big thing. I wake up and I, like, count my blessings. I'm like, things, I just think in my head, things I'm grateful for, things I'm blessed for. And I think that was such a huge part, like, just and I'm happy that everyone surrounding me now is just kind of gets my positive energy, and that's, I think that's important.
It really is. And, you know, I guess part of the reason why I asked is because I know that so many people, when they're struggling with their own maybe self-image or self-worth, will turn to things to kind of fill that void and that gap. And you know, we've kind of had that conversation a little bit on the podcast, where for some people, when they are feeling that way, right, they turn to relationships to kind of fill that void, and they'll look to other people to make themselves feel better. For yourself, alcohol played a part in that. I know for me, it was food. Like, I turned to food for comfort. Lots of people do, right? Everyone has something that they can turn to that isn't necessarily healthy. And we don't always recognize it, right? Like, for me, it was years before I even thought, like, because you hear about it, you hear about these conversations happening, but it takes, you know, another step to be able to kind of turn that focus inwards and be like, okay, what is my unhealthy habit? Like, where do I turn to cope? Do I do healthy things like going to the gym or going for a walk? But even sometimes going to the gym can be, there can be unhealthy motives behind it. If, you know, you're just going so much because you want to look a certain way, like everything can have, I guess, an unhealthy motive behind
it. Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. No, I just being able to, like, in Verdon, I would have never went to a workout class, or I would have never, because I would know everyone. And then a friend had asked me here if I wanted to go to a Pilates class, and I'm like, maybe not. but then I went and I ended up loving it. And everyone there is either struggling just as much as you, or they have worked so hard to be where they are. And that's, so I'm grateful for all those different things I can be doing, and different workout classes and different gyms, and where I won't actually know anyone. And that's kind of a big part, because I was like, that's why I never went to a gym, like, growing up, because I know someone and I'm like, oh, I'm doing it wrong, or I'm doing, but it's, you're in your own journey, and that's so important to, no one else is worried about you.
It's so true.
They're working on themselves. They're working to get to their goal weight or whatever. And so,
Yeah, that's what I always tell myself when I'm ever in a situation, because everyone does it, right? We're so quick to be like, oh, everyone's looking at me, they're judging me, what are they thinking of me? But if you think about it, everyone else is also thinking that about themselves. So it's like, no one's really paying attention to you. Like, it's okay. We are all here on our own journeys doing our own things.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. Yeah. I always think, I'm like, oh, like, she looks so good, or she's like, has so many muscles or whatever. And people probably, like, they say, oh, you look so good, what have you been doing? And it's like, well, it's been a long, long process. Like, so that's kind of, other people look at me like that. And I'm nowhere where I want to be, but that's something I just have to work towards. And that's, being able to just do different things. And I don't feel the need to have a plan every day. I'm just going with the flow, and that is so important.
It's true. And like we were talking about earlier, kind of falling in love with the journey, whatever that journey may be, is so important, because you spend most of your time on that journey. You don't spend most of your time at point A to point B. And I mean, we are forever students, like, in life, with everything. We are always going to find things that we maybe want to change or improve about ourselves. So to have that ability to just look within ourselves and to recognize, even if there isn't something that you like, I think your story is such a testament to, you can change whatever you want to change, and it's possible.
Yeah, for sure. And I believe, like, your own personal happiness, that's your responsibility. Like, I always used to look around, like, but no, it's on me. Like, if I want to be happy, that is, I need to work towards that. I need to surround myself with the right people. I need to, so I think it's so true. Like, it is really all up to you. And then the people in your life, they just get to help with that. They get to be, that person for you. And
What was the most challenging thing you found about the road of recovery for you? Because for everybody it's going to be different, but for those who are maybe listening and struggling with some of the same things, it may be a little bit reassuring to hear, you know, if they're at the same point that you were at, it's still possible to overcome. But when you look back, was there anything that you really think was kind of the hardest part for it all for you?
Well, I think like such a big part is I was just in the same rut, and I just constantly, I was like, this is my life. So why would I change it? But the thing is like, that's, it's important to try new things, and it's important to, do different things that maybe you're scared to try, but that's something like moving here. I'm like, I got to try something new each week that scares me, or, and doing that, I think that's kind of why I was able to get away from alcohol, because I was surrounding myself in different ways, and it was part, like, I would say for sure, just feeling like I had no one when I knew I did, but
yeah,
I would get to the point where I felt like I had no one, and so that was like, I would just go home after work and I would have a drink in my bed, and that's not like not healthy at all. Like go for a walk or something. But so that was kind of, yeah, I would just be in my own head, and well, if I have a drink, that'll make me feel better, or if I go out, I don't have to be worried about something that was maybe on my mind. And so yeah, removing myself from situations was kind of a big part of it. And I was terrified to move. Like I said, I was never going to leave my small town, but I'm so grateful for the opportunity I had. And I'm meeting so many different people. And I'm so glad that I got out of that rut that I just couldn't quite get out of on my own, I guess. I needed to leave for a little bit, and that's so important, I think.
Did you find having to maybe even change your routines was kind of helpful in that journey? Because I know for myself, when I feel like I'm in a rut, you're kind of in the same cycle, and you have to almost find a way to interrupt it. And sometimes that's physically removing yourself, like either moving to a different city or, you know, I guess removing yourself from certain social situations, like going out with certain people. But sometimes it's as simple as making new habits in your life that are kind of replacing some of the old habits. But for you, like, was changing those routines a big factor in what helped?
It was hard. I felt like having a quiet weekend was just like almost, I was like, oh, this isn't okay. Like I need to have, but once I learned that, like, okay, just maybe my goal right now is just to read a little bit each day. And, cause I wasn't a big reader. I did not like reading. But like I read a little bit each day, and like I said, I go on walks and different like things like that that I am okay with now. Like I'm okay with doing little things that have changed my routine, but I thought they were little, but they're actually so big. They're so I definitely did have to change my routine, and I was the type, like I said, always on the go, always had to be doing something. I had like a couple different jobs in because I was like, I couldn't sit still. And now I'm like, oh, I love it. Like, I'm just like happy to go to bed at 8 on a Friday.
me too.
Yeah. Like it makes me happy. And I am grateful that I did change little habits, but
yeah,
it was definitely not all at once. Like I had to do different things and try different things, right? And I'm like, okay, for no, sure. I don't like that, or I don't. But yeah, I think it's important to truly look at who you are when you are spending time with people who maybe aren't healthy, or and just work on your friendships and relationships that are truly important to you. And
yeah,
I think that's a big part of it.
Absolutely. And I think, like you said, you kind of feel like you're not getting anywhere when you make small little changes. And and I think that's where people kind of quickly fall off the path, is they think they have to change everything all at once.
Yes.
But that's not something that we can upkeep or is attainable. You know, like when you're in such a routine of doing something, it is the smallest of changes that add up over time. And, you know, when you're making goals for yourself, you have to find those small pieces, those little things that you're actually going to be able to do and follow through with. And then once you find that, you can pick another thing, because you kind of gain that self-confidence of like, okay, I can do this. Like I did that. Now let's find something else to add on.
Yes, exactly. It's like all the different things you can do, and all the different, like, there's so many incredible opportunities. And I'm so sad that, like, I didn't try these different things to begin with, like, but that was just part of my journey. I just, it wasn't my timing to quit drinking back then, and it is now. And I think that talking about it is so important. And
So you may or may not have been expecting this question, because I know that you do listen to the podcast, but what was your Luma moment throughout your journey?
Well, it was something I read. So it's kind of like, I wouldn't say necessarily a moment, but it was when I read it, I'm like, oh my gosh, like that makes complete sense. Like I was always worried about what everyone thought of me, and what, like, oh, they think this, or they, and it was when I read, other people's opinions of you is actually none of your business. Whatever they think about you, that's on them. And I was like, that. Wow. Yeah, that is so important, because that is so true. Like, you could be the nicest possible human and do everything right, but there's people are still going to pick out things about you that they don't like.
Yeah.
So I think that was the moment I was like, okay, wow, like that, I needed to read that at that moment. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I always say you can be the ripest, juiciest peach in the box, but there's always going to be somebody that doesn't like peaches.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, no, so that was kind of like, I was like, wow, that is so, because I was always a people pleaser, and I'm like, oh, they're going to care about that. And people don't really care. Like, they don't. If you've lost 40 pounds, or if you've don't drink, like, people don't care. It's something that it's your journey. And if if they reach out to you, that, like, they're cheering you on, and that's important. But most people are just so that was kind of my Luma moment, when I realized, I was like, okay, wow, I really don't need to be worried about everybody else, because I could be that best version to that person, and they could still choose something that. So,
well, I love that. I think that is such a powerful message, and just so insightful. It's a good reminder to just know that, you know, whatever journey you're on right now, do it for yourself.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what other people think.
Yeah.
Because even if you are on a journey to maybe better your life, you know, say you want to stop drinking, there are going to be people who don't support you because they like you better when you're drinking.
Yes.
Or they're insecure with their own drinking habits, so they don't want to be around somebody who is sober, right? So even if it's maybe a move to make your life better, there are still going to be people who don't support it.
Yeah. And the people that you do want and need in your life, they will support you. And I think that's pretty amazing that, and you don't need a full army, I guess, but as long as you have your people and they're right there for you, that's so important.
Well, I just want to say, Nicole, it was such a pleasure to have you on, to have had this conversation with you today. I've said this many times, but you are such a light, and I know that this is going to help so many people out there. And it's just been such an honor to get to know you. And I feel like I've kind of made a new friend now through this, because there are so many things that I just relate to personally myself. So thank you so much for coming on and being vulnerable and just sharing your story today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so good to talk to you. You're so easy to talk to, and I'm so grateful that I was able to share my story. And I just want people to know you're not alone, and there's always people and resources to talk to. And if anyone needs to reach out, I'm always a listening ear.
Oh, that was so beautifully said. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.